My name is Chris Hayes, and I will be your reader today. Our scripture reading comes from John 3, 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, but no one can do these things, signs that you do, apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus says to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet we do not receive our testimony. Oh, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe me, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of God for the people of God.
One of the interesting things about reading the Bible is that there is a lesson in the Bible, and it is dependent on the perspective of the characters in the story. The problem is the majority of the time we identify with the wrong people in the story. In this case, we should be identifying with Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a religious person who understands the law, understands the rules, understands the scripture. He looks at Jesus and he sees that Jesus is from God. He sees the things that he can do, and he's convinced that Jesus is sent by God because of the things he can do. And then he starts asking questions. And Jesus said, "You have to be born again." And Nicodemus says, "How can that be? I'm too big to go back and be born again." And what is happening at that moment is Nicodemus is trying to keep God in that intellectual world. You see, he understands scripture, he understands the law, he understands the covenant, and he wants to keep it up here as head knowledge. And he wants Jesus to fill in the blanks that will make the head stuff makes sense to him, to draw it close together. The word that's being used for born again can be again or above. And Jesus is saying that you have to be born again. You have to be reborn. And Nicodemus is hoping that he doesn't understand this properly, I believe. And he's trying to explain it away and put it in a context that he can hold on to. He says, if you give me three more prayers to say, if you give me one more perspective so I understand the scripture properly, then I can put this in my understanding and just keep moving forward. But you see, the thing is Nicodemus is in the position of needing a coach, like the young man I was telling you about before. And Nicodemus needs a coach, but doesn't want to acknowledge that he needs a coach. Jesus wants him to change his understanding of how he practices the faith and how he understands the faith. And Nicodemus says, no, I understand the faith. I just want you to fill in that one blank. But you see, the new information doesn't fit in Nicodemus' old paradigm. And that's where the trouble begins. In the hymn that we started with, Are Ye Able, there's a piece in the refrain that says, Lord, we are able, our spirits are thine, remold us, make us like the divine. To be remolded is not a simple thing. It's not a flippant or insignificant thing. To be remade is a totally transformative process. If you want to wrap your mind around it a little better, it's like taking scrap metal from the reclamation yard, melting it down, and making a brand new car. You might have melted down a Pontiac, a Saturn, and an Oldsmobile, and you come out with a Tesla. Yes, there's some raw material similarities. There are some functional similarities, but in a real sense, almost everything has changed. But you see, that's the human part about it. Most people, when asked if they want to draw closer to God, will say yes. Then you say, what are you willing to change to do that? And the list gets smaller. And then if you say, what if you had to change everything for that to happen? And the list gets really, really small. Human beings don't like change. Some people say, well, I like a little change. And that's precisely where I'm coming from. You see, you want enough familiarity, you want enough things you can hold on to, you want to hold on to enough of the old stuff that the new stuff isn't scary. But I find again and again that when people come to Christ, they want to negotiate. But one of the problems is to negotiate, you have to kind of be on an even footing. You have to have a quid pro quo kind of thing going. I have something you need. You have something I need. Let's work out a good exchange here. When you're negotiating with God, you're not on an even footing. You're struggling with something where he has everything you want and he is everything that you need. And he says, just give me you. If you give me you, I'll change you. I'll remold you and make you like me. In the Chronicles of Narnia, there's a little boy named Eustace who's turned into a dragon. And he tries to turn back into a little boy by himself, and he can't. And Aslan has to take him and take his claws and tear away the dragon's skin and put him in the water, and it hurts. But when Eustace sees his reflection in the pool and he realizes he's become a boy again, he knows that Aslan, the Christ figure in Narnia, has restored him. In Corinthians, there's a very famous scripture in the 13th chapter about what love is. Love is patient, love is kind, love is merciful. But toward the end it says, but we see as in a glass darkly. So it's like a foggy or darkened mirror. And we can see an outline. We can see some of what the features are, but we can't see everything. And the reflection is imago Dei. We're made in the image of God. And we see little glimpses of the image of God hiding in that reflection, that glass that's darkened. And what God wants to do is God wants to clean the mirror and allow the reflection, the image of God, to shine through. But we got to give him the whole mirror. We got to give him everything. We got to allow him to clear everything away and let the image of God come out. See, Nicodemus wants to keep God at arm's length where he can see him and understand him. And God, Jesus says, if I speak to you of earthly things and you don't understand, how will you understand if I speak to you about heavenly things? Friends, as we reflect on this Lenten time, as we walk our way toward Easter, God wants to polish away the darkness. God wants to change us. He wants to remold us and make us like him. But it means he has to change us. And we can't say, well, try this little piece first. We need to jump in the water. We need him to clean the mirror. We need him to move us forward. Friends, what are you keeping out of the water? What are you holding at arm's length? What are the things that you're uncomfortable changing? Lent is just starting. We have time to think about it. We have time to work it through. But as we move from Lent into Holy Week, into Easter, you need to be reflecting on what it is that you want and what you need from God and what it is that you're going to need to lay down and surrender in order to get there. Could you pray with me? Lord, each of us wants to be reborn. We want to be a reflection of your image. But the process is a little bit scary. Help us to realize that because it's you who does the transformation, we can trust you. Totally. But that you wait for us to lay it down. Lord, help us to lay it down. In your Son's precious name we pray.